is probably broken and probably doesn't hold true. So we have to actually create a public education system in this country that's free. And we're also going to have to address some of the inherent issues, the way in which this crosses racial lines and really is a very racialized system and is perpetuating and increasing all sorts of inequality.
We have to leave it there. Pam Brown, thanks for being with us, a PhD student at the New School. And thank you so much to our guest, Andrew Rossi. His film is Ivory Tower. I'm Amy Goodman with Aaron Matta.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, where the time is now 8 o'clock. Coming up next is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show with our hosts Abe Proctor and Joe Uris. Today we'll revisit the growing citizen movement against dangerous rail and pipeline transit of dirty fossil fuels through our communities and the push to find a renewable replacement.
This month, June 12th at 7 p.m., KBOO at the Clinton presents Satyricon, Madness and Glory, Mike Laster's documentary about the world-famous punk club Satyricon that opened in 1983, featuring interviews and footage from the Old Town establishment. Immediately following the film, 20-Foot Man, Portland's own very large musical steel puppet, a mainstay of public art, will perform myth formations emanating from written and unwritten musical concepts, arranged for your listening and viewing pleasure. Again, June 12th, the documentary film Madness and Glory, followed by a live performance from 20-Foot Man at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton. More information about KBOO at the Clinton this month and every second Thursday can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
In 2011, Troy Davis was executed by the state of Georgia despite a compelling case of innocence. This sparked a global movement to end the death penalty. Hear a firsthand account of his story and readings from the book I Am Troy Davis on Prison Pipeline, June 16th at 6:30 p.m.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from the 27th Annual Safeway Waterfront Blues Festival, July 3 through 6 at Waterfront Park, which benefits the Oregon Food Bank and features Greg Allman, Boz Skaggs, Los Lobos, Maceo Parker, Bombino, Charlie Musselwhite, Ivan Neville's Dumpsta Funk, and many more. Information, complete schedule, and pass information at waterfrontbluesfest.com.
Fat and docile, big and dumb. They look so stupid, they aren't much fun. Cows aren't fun. They eat to grow, grow to die, die to be et at the hamburger fry. Cows well done. Nobody thunk it, nobody knew. No one imagined the great cow guru. Cows are one. He hid in the forest, read books with great zeal. He loved Che Guevara, a revolutionary veal. Cows say tongue. He spoke about justice, but nobody stirred. He felt like an outcast, alone in the herd. Cow doll drums. He moved, we must fight, escape or we'll die. Cows gathered around, cause the stakes were so high. Bad cow pun. But then he was captured, stuffed into a crate, loaded onto a truck where he rode to his fate. Cows are bummed. He was a scrawny calf who looked rather woozy. No one suspected he was packing an Uzi. Cows with guns. They came with a needle to stick in his thigh. He kicked for the groin. He pissed in their eye. Cowell hung, knocked over a tractor and ran for the door. 6 gallons of gas flowed out on the floor. Run, cows, run. He picked up a bullhorn and jumped up on the hay. We are free-roving bovines. We run free today. We will fight for bovine freedom and hold our large heads high. We will run free with the buffalo or die. Cows with guns. Crashed the gate in a great stampede, tipped over milk truck, torched all the feed. Cows have fun. 60 police cars were piled in a heap, covered in cow pies, covered up deep. Much cow dung. Black smoke rising, darken in the day, 12 burning McDonald's, have it your way. We will fight for bovine freedom and hold our large heads high. We will run free with the buffalo or die. Cows with guns.
Cows with guns.
Cows with guns.
I love that song. You know, as a matter of fact, there's a reason why we're playing that song. You probably wonder.
Tell us, Joe, why did we play that song?
Well, we're going to be talking about oil trains, coal trains, and how public monies are going to be used to poison us all.
Cool. Coltrane's third and fourth albums are my favorite.
John Coltrane.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's another guy. He's cool. He played saxophone just like you.
That's he played it better than me.
Unfortunately,
plays much better than me.
Just like you. Fortunately, much better than you. Okay, there's a tour, Crude Awakening Oil Train Tour. Dana Lyons, whose song "Cows with Guns" we just heard, who's going to be with Matt Crow, who's going to be at a potluck and a concert. I can't believe potluck and concert.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
Yeah, June 13th. At 7 o'clock at the Peace House. You know the Peace House?
No, I don't.
Oh, it's a really cool place. 18th and Tillamook.
Which part of town?
In the Northeast.
Northeast, 18th and Tillamook.
Yeah, and on the 13th. Now, that's Friday.
This is called the Crude Awakening?
Yes.
Oil Train Tour. What's that all about?
Well, it's all about the fact that we are about to be snowed in with ports to take the really deadly Bakken oil and all other manner, shale oil, all kinds of oil.
Bakken oil is an ancient Greek party, right? Oh, it's Bacchanal.
That's a Bacchanal.
Okay, sorry.
It's
go
not
ahead.
Ancient Greek. It's
Roman.
It was Roman.
Roman,
yeah. Anyway, we're really great today. Anyway, this is a really big event. I mean, it's going to be a small space with a large crowd. And it's very cool, lovely house. And this guy, as you can hear from his song, Dana Lyons, is very funny. And I always like cows with guns. And those of you out there who are vegans or vegetarians or just trying to eat a little less meat should really appreciate that song. And the idea that cows could fight back is a funny idea. Very funny idea until you're in the field with a very angry bull.
Yeah, it's not so much
not
fun.
So funny.
No.
No. Anyway, that's why we castrate them.
Okay, moving on.
Yes.
All right, this is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show. I am Abe Proctor. That's Joe Uris there talking about cows and steers and
90
stuff.
90.7 FM in Portland here.
We're talking about oil and coal today.
Yeah, and I do. I want to spend a lot of time talking about oil and coal in the next few weeks because what's planned is really grotesque. They are going to, the oil companies and the railroads, are going to try to make the people of Oregon, through the government, pay for upgrading the rails, which need upgrading in general, and putting in new crossing guard systems, and in general, making all the tracks that go along the Columbia River and all the way to Clatskanie and places like that.
All the way to North Dakota.
Well, all the way from here to North Dakota, making them all, quote-unquote, safer, but mainly faster and with less, with more ability to block the way for cars and so on, so that unobstructed coal and oil can flow to ports in Oregon, which will then ship that oil to China and India and South and Vietnam and other places like that, where it can be burned and turned into really poisonous fumes that come back here.
Well, Joe, global capitalism runs on fossil fuels.
Yes, let's turn it off.
So, you know, we got to burn those fossil fuels to power the whole deal. So my question to you is, well, you know, what do you have against global capitalism?
Oh, so much. Oh, how can I commence? Let's see. How about the fact that there are millions of workers who are grossly underpaid all over the world just so you can have a Walkman? Or no, yes. Not Walkman, it's old time. So you can have a cell phone. What am I doing? Yeah.
Here in cell the 21st phone. Century, we've got cell phones.
And what happens to wristwatches? Anybody with a cell phone can tell what time it is.
Yeah, that's true.
You don't need to be a weatherman to tell what time it is.
No.
That's silly. Okay.
All right.
The problem.
You were about to say something. You're making a big dramatic hand gesture.
I was making a big dramatic hand
gesture.
Okay,
go ahead. Why don't you say that?
Well, what I want to say is that I think enough is enough. We need all of us. We need to kind of arm ourselves. I'm talking metaphorical. I'm not talking about I'm a single shooter going to take down the U.S. government crazy person. Metaphorically speaking, we need to arm ourselves, put on the armor of truth and righteousness, and kick the living you-know-what out of the oil industry, the energy industry, which is so dominating in America.
Well, they're dominating everywhere.
Yeah, but here, we could stop it here.
You remember a few months back we had Bill McKibben on the show?
I do.
Bill McKibben of 350.org.
In fact, this event I'm just talking about is sponsored by 350.org.
Awesome. And there's a link on our show page to the website, 350.org. I really encourage people to visit that.
Yeah.
Why is that number significant? 350 parts per billion.
Yes.
Is the threshold of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere that we desperately need to stay below.
But we've already exceeded it.
Well, no, we haven't yet exceeded it, but
we have already
extracted enough oil and coal from the ground such that if we were to burn all of that,
we would exceed it.
So what we're really asking here, what we're demanding, what we really need is a very tall order. We're asking the energy industry to literally leave trillions of dollars on the table, trillions of dollars that it's already pulled out of the earth.
And they are not going to want to do that.
They're not going to want to do that. In fact, they're looking to pull still more fossil fuels out of the earth, and that's where this whole oil and coal train
and the fracking.
Business.
Don't forget the fracking.
And don't forget the fracking.
The fracking. I love to have the fracking is so weird because what's really happening is the United States has become essentially like a third world country, providing them raw materials for the rest of the world's industrial production.
Yeah, that's true. They make finished goods that then get shipped back here to be sold to American
things
consumers.
Things we don't really need.
Lots of things we don't really need.
Well, of which we have so many.
Well,
because we are so wealthy, or think we are. And here's what is amazing about all of this. Is that in the process, American wages continue to not rise with the cost of living. American wages continue to be terrible. The enormous costs of getting a college degree continue to be an issue. Obama's starting to deal with that. The whole essence of the economic order in the United States is twisting and turning in the winds of change.
Well, not only are wages failing to rise with the cost of living, they're failing to rise with the increase in productivity.
Right.
Really, an unprecedented increase in productivity.
It's quite amazing and counter to the simple economic theories that I learned in college.
Yeah, and here, and in high school even.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead, please.
All right, so I want to hear from people out there, men and women, who have some thoughts about, feelings about, ideas about what to do about this looming and very real energy crisis. And in particular, how do we prevent the state of Oregon from using our taxpayer monies to support private railroads so that they can more efficiently and more expeditiously and possibly more safely transport oil and coal to ports along the Columbia River, like Clatskanie, and then ship it overseas where, as I say, it will be turned into fuel to be burned often very inefficiently to produce more greenhouse gases to bring us above the 350.org number of parts per million of hydrocarbons in the air. We're over 400 now.
Oh.
We are, actually.
Oh.
So it's already a really desperate situation.
Oh, okay. I'm going to have to do a little more research.
You should.
All right. No, so there's
well, I have to tell people, the number to call is 231-8187.
Yes, 503. Okay.
Yeah, 503-231-8187. Yes.
Now, there's been a couple of recent decisions from folks in the executive branches of government, both here in Oregon and in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
Governor Kitzhaber seems to have drawn a pretty firm line against coal exports from the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, he's looking for an issue. You know, he's going to run for the unprecedented fourth term.
That's true. But I don't know if he's just looking for an issue or not.
Well, he's authentically concerned, maybe?
I think he's authentically concerned. And by taking this stance, he's running counter to two very wealthy donors who have sponsored his campaigns in the past. Ah. Two of them who stand to profit richly if coal and oil exports go forward.
Who are they?
Vigor Industries and another one, somebody marine. Here, let me find it in this article. At any rate, I will find those in a moment.
Okay.
There's a number of plans here to build terminals close to the mouth of the Columbia, also a terminal at the existing Boardman coal plant farther inland on the Columbia.
Which will allow them to barge the
stuff. Barge the stuff down to the sea where it will make its way to Asia. Both of these companies, Vigor and something-something Marine, whose name I will find here in just a moment, have given a lot of money to Kitzhaber in the past. Gunderson Marine has given...
Oh, Gunderson, yeah.
Yes. Vigor Industries has given $31,000 to Kitzhaber's campaign. That's actually just Vigor's CEO, a guy named Frank Foti. And the CEO of Gunderson Marine, a guy named Bill Furman, has given Kitzhaber $40,000. So both of these guys are big supporters of his, and they stand to lose from his opposition to coal and oil exports.
Right. Well, he's particularly focused on the coal issue.
He's particularly focused on the coal issue.
And, of course, all of us who are paying any attention to this whole situation are aware of the fact that our water tables, our actual supply of basic water that we need for agriculture and to drink and so on, are at risk with fracking and with mining.
Right.
And in fact, the whole of the mountaintops in places like West Virginia have been torn up and destroyed. There's hardly any coal miners left because what you mostly get is guys operating big trucks or big digging machines.
Right.
So you don't need so many of them.
No, you know, you don't need so
and
many.
And so you don't have no coal miner's daughter song.
Yeah, that's a tragedy.
Yeah, I think loss of suffering songs. People's music.
Yes,
the blow to the real issue.
The blow to the country music.
231-8187.
Unintended consequences.
And I want to emphasize again, this event, this is really a cool thing. We'll probably be talking about it more on other programs. But an opportunity to get close, actually to get close with Dana Lyons and others, to talk about coal and oil and its shipment down the Columbia River. And it's virtually inevitable unless we all get together and stop it.
It is virtually inevitable. And, of course, this discussion is all part and parcel of the larger issue, which, of course, is the warming of the Earth's environment because of the burning of fossil fuels to drive modern capitalism.
Right.
The only place – let me be very clear about this. Global warming is a fact. It is caused by human beings.
Well, I don't think we have anybody who's going to call up and say, oh, no, it's not.
We might, because one of the very few places that the phenomenon of global warming is still in dispute is amongst conservative circles in the United States of America.
That's true.
The vast majority of the scientific community, and I'm talking close to 98% of peer-reviewed studies on this topic, conclude that humans are behind the warming of the climate.
Yes.
That's pretty much knocked out of the park. That is beyond dispute.
But even so, let's pretend for a minute that there was a real argument against the idea that humans are interfacing with the climate, which I do not believe. Let's pretend that they aren't interfacing. Even so, global warming is deadly and awful, and anything that adds to it makes it more awful.
Indeed.
So even if you made the argument that some crazy conservative Bible-thumping, the world is 6,000 years old kind of people, the universe is 6,000 year old kind of people, even if you're one of them and you acknowledge that, it's warmer, then what you should do as a human is do everything you can to keep it from being warmer, which means to turn to renewable energy resources.
Yeah, we should all be looking for ways to burn far fewer fossil fuels than we do now.
Moreover, the doing of that would create an enormous number of jobs in this still recessionary climate.
Yes. So the answer is not to dig up oil in the United States, right, truck it across or rail it across Oregon, and then ship it to Asia to be burned. That is not part of the solution. That is more of the same.
Yeah, no, and it's really quite crazy. We are living in a time where what happened historically, we had a two-party system. One was relatively conservative, the other relatively liberal. Neither of them by any means in those days, particularly left or right in the sense of European politics or Asian politics. But now the Republican Party has found God.
Well, I think they found God a long time ago.
Well, no, they really found God. A special God, an angry God,
angry,
a punishing God,
God,
a hating gays, lesbians, transgender people, et cetera, God.
Uh-huh. Jews.
Yeah, Jews.
Yeah.
Well, Jews, that, depends on the
well,
Jews.
Well, that's not new. They've been hating
They
Jews
like
for
Israel,
a long time.
So, you know. Right. they really and truly don't like the person of color president.
Mm-hmm.
They argue that he's from Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that kind of thing. So we got this craziness on the Republican side and a biblical, a real core of biblical believers. That is that they take this lovely mythical book with lots of interesting stories, plenty of blood, plenty of sex, and they turn this set of books into truth, absolute truth. So there are people who are otherwise intelligent who will say the entire universe is only 6,000 years old. And they'll say it with a straight face, and they'll say it often, and they'll say it loud. And they'll insist that that be taught in the public schools.
Well, that's just silly.
Well, yeah, but see, this is all part, I argued, it's all part and parcel of a last-ditch, crazy, late-stage capitalism that is moving swiftly toward what I call friendly fascism. That's what I think.
Why don't we take some calls?
I think we should take some calls.
BJ, good morning.
Hi, good morning. I don't think there is such a thing as friendly fascism, but I love you guys. And I want to, yeah, you know.
You don't
want,
think there's such a thing as friendly fascism,
yeah,
huh?
You
get against that wall there. We'll fix you.
And Joe, cough again, then I'll know coal dust is real.
Oh, coal dust is real.
It is, because I'm right above the coal trains a mile down.
You know the coal trains are a mile long?
Yeah, I know. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah,
100
oil
cars,
trains,
I
coal
counted
trains.
Them.
Yeah.
I want to get cows with guns by Dana Lyons.
Yeah.
How do we get this? Is it available anywhere? You know.
Oh, sure. You can. First of all, you can. Do you do the online thing?
I tell you, I am a senior, and I don't have a computer now. The last one was stolen by Homeland Insecurity.
Okay, you go to the library, and you can find a place to order that in a hard copy. You can.
Okay, I can a hard copy. Okay. Yeah. In other words, I'd get a CD.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
you have to
I'm
pay
working.
Money, but yes,
well,
you get
sure,
a CD.
I pay money.
If you go to this event, I'll bet you'll have some for sale.
You would? You would buy me one?
No, I won't buy you one.
Oh.
What are you, crazy? I'm not generous. it's on, the thing is Friday the 13th.
Yes.
A potluck at 6 and a concert at 7.
Where's that at?
At 18th, on 18th Avenue at the Peace House. That's,
the Peace House, yeah.
2116 Northeast 18th at Tillamook.
What's the address again, the number?
Okay, real slow. On 18th, it's 2116 Northeast 18th at Tillamook in the Northeast.
6 Tillamook.
Yeah.
2116 North 18th.
Yeah.
That's
Northeast 18th.
Area. Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, it's the first time I've had a breath of turning away from coal dust so that I don't feel I'm going to get the cancer is in remission.
Can oh, I'm glad of that.
Hey.
Thank you. I will be with you down at KBOO. I will be with you. I love you guys, and it reminds me of old days in radio and acting. When I did commercials. Oh, my God, I love it.
Okay,
and I want to be back with you.
I'm really glad that you're in remission. I'm really glad that you're going to be able to go to this event. I'm really glad you'll get a copy of Cows with Guns because it's one of my favorite funny
it
songs.
Is. It
and
is.
And it's right up there with Stan Freberg and others. And I want to give others an opportunity, okay?
Yes, I will. 4 minutes is my time limit. Here it is.
Yeah.
Hey, congratulations.
Congratulations.
Though, on your good news.
And we're trying. I'm just trying to, in order to get more callers in, we try to keep it to 3 minutes.
Yeah, I know. Absolutely. You've got to do that. But be selective on the caller. Positive energy that they love you and they love our life that we stay in this planet.
Well, I'm glad you're in remission.
Hey, man. We love you too.
Take care.
That's why we need wind. and air and solar.
Yes.
We need those. We need those instead of, you know what.
Okay, man.
Hey, well, thanks, BJ.
Take care.
Oh, my God. All right. Who's next? Richard, good morning.
Good morning. See, I'd like to help Joe out with his ambition to kick the whatever it was out of petroleum producers.
Okay.
And
this is a metaphorical thing, let's be clear.
Yes, right. I understand that.
Okay.
I am prepared to give you a historic overview and a clear solution that requires almost nothing.
Can you do it in 3 minutes?
No, I cannot. And I'm going to give you my phone number so you can call me.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
How's that?
You sure you want to do that on the air?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, go for it.
My number is 503-957-9801.
All right.
And whenever you're ready to talk about it, just give me a call.
Okay. Thanks. You're on, man. Thank you. Well, do you think he's got a secret solution?
I don't know. Call and find out.
I guess I will. All right, 231-8187. We want to hear from you. We're talking about, and we're going to be talking about a lot because it's really serious, global warming, 350.org being a principal organization fighting against it. We're going to be talking about the importance of stopping the coal trains and the oil trains here in Oregon. They're running. They're going to be running even more than they already are. Along the Columbia. By the way, the railroads already have lied and said, "Hey, we're not running trains on the Oregon side of the Columbia." And then turns out that somebody took a picture of him running on the Oregon side.
Oh,
so it was either a phantom picture from the future, or photoshopping. Or more likely, they're running trains on the Oregon side of the Columbia.
Yeah, Occam's Razor tells us if you see a picture of coal trains running on the Oregon side of the river, it's most likely coal trains running on the Oregon side of the river.
Yes.
Let's go back to the phones.
Okay.
Sandy, good morning.
Good morning. I am so glad you are talking about this because I am with 350 Portland and 350 Oregon and 350.org. And as you mentioned, we are the ones bringing this show, and I just want to make a couple of corrections.
Okay, yeah, I'm sure I did it all wrong.
Well, no, you didn't do it all wrong, and I just love that you played Dana Lyons' song to start the show. That was fabulous. the potluck is Kells at 6 o'clock.
Yes.
And the performance, it's a performance by Dana Lyons, and Matt Crone from Forest Ethics is going to do a PowerPoint talking about educating us about the oil trains so that we can better fight against them.
I'm not much of a PowerPoint person, but it's okay.
Yeah, but the other thing is that you didn't mention, I think it's important, is that we are asking a donation because it's costing us a lot of money to bring these guys here. We're not going to make any money on it, absolutely not.
Okay, what's the donation?
We're asking, it's only a suggested donation. We're asking 10 to 25, whatever people can manage. And, of course, we won't turn anybody away who can't afford to. We really want everyone to know
about it. You
leave
it open for all the sleazeballs.
But I just wanted to warn people that they would be asked for a donation.
No, that's good. I didn't mention that.
Yeah, and then on the, it's parts per million, not parts per billion.
Oh, thank you.
And
that's only off
clarify,
by a few orders of magnitude. It's no big
350
deal.
350 is the kind of consensus of scientists worldwide.
But we're already at 420.
We're not at a particular number at any particular time. You know, it's when you test it.
Uh-huh.
It's like if you test how clean the air is in Portland one day. It you know, and where in the world. We're in a closed system. I had a friend once say to me, you know, I'd rather have them ship that coal over to China, let their air be dirty. you do get the dirty, you know, in the vicinity of where you burn it, you get really dirty air. But the reality is this is a closed system, and if we burn it, it's in that system.
If we burn it, we earn it.
System. So you asked, what can we do?
What can we do?
What can we do? Well, one of the things, we certainly, you know, the Northwest is the gateway to Asia. So we here are assigned the task of keeping this transport of all this dirty fossil fuel from going to Asia, because all this fracking and the mining of the tar sands and this powder river coal and all that stuff, they don't know where to get rid of it. They want to ship it to Asia, and it's our task in particular here in the Northwest to keep that from happening. So just, you know, there's a bunch of organizations working on this, and mm-hmm. just if you keep your ears open, you will hear about various demonstrations.
If you keep your ears open, you'll get coal dust in them.
Yeah. The other thing that 350 has led the way in is this fossil fuel divestment. And I'm not talking, I know that most of our listeners here do not have billions of dollars invested in the stock market or even millions, but if you're a public employee in Oregon, it's very possible that your pension is with PERS.
Well, if you're any sort of employee with a market-based retirement plan, which is most of us these days.
Right.
If you're lucky.
We are particularly targeting the public pension funds, because mm-hmm. our government is, its task is to look out for us, for our safety and our health,
mm-hmm.
and by promoting fossil fuel, by investing in it, they are not. We need them to turn that around. What we're trying to do, and we're also trying to get foundations, and we're trying to get colleges and universities. You know, they all have endowments and investments, and we have a at gofossilfree.org, you can find a list of the 200 companies that we are asking these institutions to divest from. Oh, and one other correction I want to make. These are the five times more than we can burn. These have not been extracted yet. These are the reserves of the fossil fuel companies.
Ah.
And what we are asking is that they leave it in the ground. And they're becoming what the financial world is calling stranded assets. They own them, but they can't use them without really driving us to doom. So that is the campaign. We are trying to stigmatize the fossil fuel industry because we need to, for one thing, we need is carbon pricing. You know, a lot of people call it carbon tax, but it won't necessarily be a tax. It'll
okay,
be some kind of way that you make the fossil fuels so expensive that renewables are even more competitive with them.
Okay. Cindy, I want to let you go because a lot of people want to get online.
Okay. All right. But thank you so much for letting me give a wrap. And we'd love to see everybody at 6 o'clock on Friday. And Dana is going to be on KBOO at noon on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And tomorrow morning, I'm not sure if it's going to be 8 or 9, but Matt's going to be on. So people can find out more about the program on
cool.
Friday night there. Thank you so much. Bye.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I want to make clear, I'm pushing hard on this. This is something I think is really doable, but I think it's also something that really is challenging, and it needs to be done, and it needs to be done right away. We've got to get off the fossil fuel death train.
Yes, literally and figuratively.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned towards the start of the show about certain people who maintain a biblical worldview.
Yes.
And how they are tending to stand in the way of doing the right thing on a number of fronts.
Yes.
I'm summarizing broadly here, but this, I want to read you a quote now from a man, a Midwestern-based conservative radio host and pastor. His name's Matthew Hagee.
Oh, I know him, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Here's what he says about global warming. The Bible says that whenever we approach the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, I feel like I should have a Southern accent.
I can. The Bible says, when we approach the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ,
that there would be strange weather patterns.
Strange weather patterns.
Do we believe what an environmentalist group says and choose to live in a world where we're attempting to make everything as clean in the air as possible? Or do we believe what the Bible says, that these things were going to happen, and that rather than try to clean up all of the air and solve all of the problems of the world by eliminating factories, we should start to tell people about Jesus Christ, who is to return?
So we just are going to let the world go to hell because Jesus is going to save us all.
That's correct.
Except for the rest of us who don't believe in Jesus saving us all.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. That's really real, huh?
That's really real.
There are like 30% of Americans believe all that stuff.
Indeed. And a number of them are in Congress on very key committees.
Oh, good. Oh, yeah. Good. Well, I believe the world was created by a large mouse.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And all of us are but the excrement of this giant mouse.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
All right, let's go back to the phones.
All right.
I don't want to
you don't want to
more
hear more of my religion? No. Okay.
Anita, good morning.
Good morning. I would like to ask you to broaden your interest here to include Vancouver on the other side.
Oh, absolutely.
There's that great big planned oil port that would be the largest in the entire Pacific Northwest that Tesoro Oil Company really wants to put here.
That's right. That's right across from Portland.
It certainly is. And I will tell you that we are having some limited success in the initial skirmishes here, resisting it. Although the Port Authority, I think, was very ill-advised to go ahead with approving this. Just after the Lac Mégantic train blew up a year ago, they somehow thought that was just, you know, an aberration.
A fluke.
There have been six trains that have derailed. At, you know, some exploded, I think at least six, with the Bakken shale on it. Since.
Yeah, people should know that Bakken oil is particularly flammable.
Oh, they should. They certainly should. But in Vancouver, there are several people, not everybody organized with the Sierra Club, which I actually am a member of.
Okay.
But also with, you know, just on their own and with any number of other concerns. To meet last week, it was Monday night a week ago, it was a historic city council meeting. There were almost 700 people there.
Wow.
Over 100 of us testified with 3 minutes each, and the mayor, to his credit, let everybody speak. But at the end, first off, the vast majority of the people who were there and the majority who spoke were against the oil port.
Mm-hmm.
Those who were for it tended almost without exception to have a solid financial stake in either the port itself or in some closely related industry.
Well, sure.
Burlington Northern Santa Fe.
Right.
But at the end of the evening, after 12:30, they closed it because anybody who had signed up by 8 o'clock got to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And that was from 6:30 to 12:30, public testimony. And then they deliberated. And not only is Vancouver, everybody, including the opponents on this, were for the signing, the weighing in of city council on this. That was part of the resolution.
Mm-hmm.
So that, and this is not insignificant, so they have asked to intervene in the process, the city council has. That was 5A, but 5B was the resolution against the oil port. And it is a glorious resolution. You might want to look it up because it is very carefully crafted. And in any case, the vote was finally 5-2, and the two who were for the oil port, or at least in one case, the point was that he really wanted to delay. But this has been out there long enough. There's been enough testimony. There was nothing said that changed anybody's mind in spite of the great passion with which a lot of people spoke.
Mm-hmm.
So we're on record with a solid majority of 5-2 against the oil port from our city council.
That's very good.
And the thing about asking to officially intervene is that it gives the city of Vancouver, the city council, standing to appeal if this goes the wrong way. Governor Inslee does have the final say. The Energy Facility Site Evaluation Council, EFSEC, EFSEC, is in the process of drafting the environmental impact statement, and then there will be more public testimony. but it's a very broad EIS, and there is some hope that maybe the process could stop there, but Inslee can veto it, whatever. Anyway, he can fail to approve it. He has the final say. Well, so that's what's happening here.
No, I really appreciate it, but I have a question for you.
Sure.
Is it possible that the City Council of Portland, Oregon could do a similar thing?
Well, I don't know.
I'm going to look into that. I want to give others an opportunity. I really appreciate the information you've given us, though.
It's very useful.
And
Dana is going to be at Shanahan's Bar and Grill Thursday here.
Okay.
Just thought I would put a shout out for that. I think
sure.
it's at Columbia and McCutcheon. Sorry. I'm still rather new here. Thank you.
Thank you for the call. Hey, I want to be very clear. This is not an issue on which I have a, oh, maybe. No, no. This is, it to me, and I think to Abe,
Yeah.
We are clear. The process, the development of the energy industry in terms of nuclear power, in terms of oil power, et cetera, everything but renewables, true renewables, is going to lead us to a path not just to perdition, as old-time Christians used to like to say, but to disaster for all humankind and all life on Earth. We have to recognize that this is real, and we got to involve all kinds of people. We got to involve all kinds of people, young people, old people. Everyone has got to recognize the danger and act and push hard on legislators, on city governments, on county governments, on every on business communities, on every element of the whole society, to prevent what I perceive as a horrible, cataclysmic, worldwide disaster.
Well, thank you very much.
There was a lot of pause there.
There was
a big pause. Yeah, let's give some other folks a chance.
Sure. We should let's sort of take a temperature on what's been going on here. I mean, this is not as if we're saying. should we or should we not allow these trains to come through Oregon? They are already coming through Oregon.
Right.
Even though they pretend they're not. In 2013, we're talking just about oil trains here, more than 19,000 tank cars passed through Oregon and moved more than 11 million barrels of Bakken oil through our state. So this is already going on. The question is, do we slow it down or stop it, or do we allow it to become much, much bigger? At taxpayer expense.
Well, the particularly odious part of that is that the railroads are going to put pressure on the states and the counties and the cities to pay for these upgrades of the rails.
Yeah.
And that is just horrendous.
Yeah, what happened to the free market?
Oh,
market-based solutions?
Well, there has never, I don't believe much in the free market. I don't think there is one.
Commie.
Well, it's a nice talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, coming up this morning.
Liberal.
Yeah. Coming up this morning on KBOO at 9 on Alternative Radio, peace activist Kathy Kelly speaks on Afghanistan beyond the propaganda. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, Flashpoints features a look at Pakistan in the wake of a bold attack by the Taliban on Pakistan's busiest international airport. Also, remembering Andy Lopez on what would have been his 14th birthday. And civil rights lawyer and hip-hop artist Shahid Buttar on Edward Snowden. On 11, Stage Studios off today. Instead, host Dan Johnson interviews Portland resident Dennis Kramer, who is a principal subject in Before You Know It, a new landmark documentary about the first out generation of LGBT seniors. And at 11:30 on Art Focused, host Joseph Gallivan interviews Laura Russell of 23 Sandy Gallery about the show Book Power Redux. All this and
Redo.
More.
Redo.
Not
Redux.
It's got an X, man.
Yeah. It does. It has an X.
It has an X.
You're very right.
Right. And what do you call those dog-like animals that live in the woods? They're not foal. It's a fox. Not a foal.
You're right. Redux.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's go to the phones. Harvey, how's it going?
Good. Hi, Abe and Joe. Well, I'd like to talk about an effect called runaway greenhouse gas effect.
I don't know about that.
You can Google that. And what it is that as we burn more fossil fuels, coal, oil, methane, and nuclear fuels, it produces basically two major It produces water vapor and carbon dioxide, two major greenhouse gases, as well as the burning of methane produces. Well, methane is a major greenhouse gas in itself.
Well, I'm going to let you continue, but I just want to point out to people that there's a misunderstanding in a lot of the public mind. Since we breathe out carbon dioxide, plants breathe in carbon dioxide and breathe out oxygen, there's this tendency to think, oh, this gas is harmless. The gas per se is harmless. Its role as in the balance of the atmosphere is very different than the question of whether or not it itself is inherently toxic.
What it does is that it's warming up the planet, and that has caused climate destabilization, and we're getting these heat waves as well as droughts. And here in California, we have there's a serious drought right now. And so it's the thing is that it could accelerate as more and more, we dump more and more CO2 into the atmosphere. It accelerates it, and we could end up like the planet Venus, which is like hell. It's like so hot. They feel that Venus suffered a runaway greenhouse gas effect.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
We know that to be true.
That's one of the reasons. But so we see an example of the overall effect of it. And what we should really be doing is replanting the forests, because it turns out that forests cool the planet. They produce evaporation, and this evaporation creates low-level clouds, which help to reflect sunlight back into space. So that's the way we should be going. And as we cut our forests down, we have less and less. It's just heating up and less room for the animals. But essentially, that's what we have to watch out for. It's like super saturation. You know, we can pump, you know, greenhouse gases into the atmosphere, but then at a certain point, it's called runaway greenhouse gas.
Yeah, but see, maybe it'll make the cows smarter, and then we'll have cows with guns.
I don't know what we'll have, but it'll be, you know, if we have severe weather conditions now, you can only imagine.
Yeah, no, I want to just, I know what you're saying, and I agree with you, and I think it's an interesting phenomenon. We don't know the precise moment, the tipping point, when things just become out of control. We know that it's possible because we know from Venus and other places examples of where something like that happened, we believe. But we don't know exactly when. And the point is, why take the risk? Why not turn, since the technologies are available, to renewable resources, and the hell with the energy industry as it's presently constituted?
I don't think people realize the amount of CO2 that we dump in the atmosphere. There's supposed to be 1 billion cars on the planet that are doing 2 rush hours a day. All the trucks, all the buses, all the recreational vehicles, all the planes in the sky, all the boats in the ocean, all the utility plants. It just goes, all the military use of fossil fuels. It's unbelievable, and it's like as if it's our job to change the atmosphere. That's how intense it is. So we have to switch away from that, or otherwise we'll be the victim of a runaway greenhouse gas effect.
I agree with you. I don't know exactly when that happens. I know that it can happen, and I think it's the way we're going, very likely. I want to thank you for the call. I want to give others opportunity.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Wow. Well, that's depressing.
Yes, the whole subject.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing. People need to wake up on this issue. They need to get into the streets. They need to get into the business offices. They need to get into every place, the schools, and make these issues clear. And tell the people who are religiously involved in some kind of weird biblical notions of 6,000-year-old universe, etc., to go play in some other sandbox.
Play in some other sandbox.
Some other sandbox. See, not ours.
There aren't any more sandboxes.
Aha!
This is the one and only sandbox.
It was the only sandbox we got, and if the cats get in it, well, you know.
All right, Sandy writes in to say, we also take your emails on this show.
Oh, we do.
joeandabe@yahoo.com.
I didn't know that.
Yes, we do. We also take comments on the Facebook page, facebook.com/abeandjoe.
Oh.
So Sandy writes to joeandabe@yahoo.com to say, this is Sandy who phoned in earlier. I forgot to say that what people can do to move fossil fuel divestment forward is sign the Oregon Climate Declaration at 350oregon.org.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sign in and sign it.
Yeah.
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 We got a phone call standing by. Bill, good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
I just have a quick comment or question.
Get closer to your phone because we're having trouble hearing you.
Okay.
That's
better now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. There must have been, for the government, Kitts Harbor, whoever approved the secret moving of trains through Oregon, there must have been some money involved there from, they call them donations or bribes or whatever in America. Does anybody know anything about that?
Oh, well, I don't. No. I don't know that there was money involved.
It was quiet for a year or two, and well, was, in fact, nobody knew about it.
I suspect when it started, it wasn't that big a deal. I mean, all kinds of stuff gets shipped by rail, right? Probably yeah. there was the odd oil or coal train car going through already. But when this oil boom happened in North Dakota, I would imagine, and I'm speculating here, that that's when it began to ramp up.
Yeah, I want to be clear. These trains, the oil and coal trains, are made up of only oil or coal cars, and they are frequently a mile or more long. So right. Not only do they ship this stuff, and in the case of coal, not only is there coal scraps and dust blowing around and lying on the ground and poisoning the soil and so on, not only is that happening, but traffic is blocked. The whole nature of the railroads has changed. You know.
Yeah, there's no way I want them coming through here. So you think it just gradually built up?
Well, I don't know. I don't.
Nobody paid anybody off to get this to happen.
Yeah, I'm not. I have no knowledge of bribes or pressure or political contributions personally. To say that there is none, on the other hand, is something I can't say either. So, you know,
I can say with certainty that neither Joe nor myself were bribed.
Now, right. I want to be clear on this. $1 million shuts me up. I'll go off the radio. Give me $1 million and I'll quit doing this. I'm buyable. It's just high.
Yeah. Everyone has their price.
That's not very high, Joe.
Okay, man. Listen, thanks for the call.
Okay.
No, I actually think that there are kinds of questions like that that we don't tend to answer. We don't tend to ask them because we can't answer them.
Right.
And I think there really are issues of that kind. I don't want to dismiss them because I'm not anti-conspiracy. I'm just doubtful. You follow?
I do.
And I think it's very interesting that Kitts Harbor has made a stand. Hopefully he can stick with it against the coal trains. He thinks, apparently, according to Willamette Week and others, that he's found an issue on which he can get united sentiment from the majority of Oregonians to catapult him into yet a fourth term of mediocre government.
There is pretty widespread public support for the regulation of the burning of fossil fuels, or increased regulation.
Oh, absolutely.
President Obama, a couple of weeks ago, released new EPA regulations that would cut our power plant emissions by 30% by the year 2030.
Which is okay, but
which
not
is
great.
Not enough, but it's better than nothing.
Well, in fact, it's one of his more gutsy moves.
Yeah. But about 70% of the public favors action like that. So people know about this. People know that this is the right thing to do. And it appears that people are willing, at least now, to endure the sacrifices that transitioning away from fossil fuels would entail.
Yes. And I actually think...
And there would be sacrifices.
I think that one of the interesting problems of this time in history is that many years ago, we had an outraged anti-war and ban the bomb movement and a civil rights movement, all of which engaged huge numbers of very involved, intelligent, active people, particularly young people. Right now, there are still some of those people, but since Occupy, there has been a tendency of everyone to turn their head away and just say, oh, what are you going to do? It's all screwed up. And I think that's a very wrong attitude. Here's the deal from my perspective. Things are going bad. Friendly fascism is growing in popularity, in acceptance in societies throughout the world. But unless you struggle...
Say what?
What?
Well, on what do you base that statement?
Fact.
Friendly fascism is growing in popularity around the world.
Yes.
Where?
Governments.
Where?
China.
Who?
India. Afghanistan. France. Spain. America.
And these policies are popular amongst the citizenry of these places?
They're accepted among the citizenry of these places. We can't say it's popular because there isn't
You just
any...
said they're growing in popularity.
Oh, shut up.
Pardon me for quoting your own statement back to you.
Don't you dare take me seriously. No, this is really happening. And it is really the case that without resistance, there can be no change. There's no proof that resistance will make a difference. But without it, there's an absolute certainty that things will go the way they're going.
All right, that's fair.
So, you know, it's an existential problem. It's a moral problem. It's a political problem. The resolution of the problem is in people's hands. Will they take action?
That is true.
Will they get in the streets? Will they get in the schools? Will they get in the churches?
And it's not just that. There's all kinds of things you can do. You can produce more of your own food. So you avoid food being shipped in from remote locations, which, yes, of course, costs fossil fuels. There's also the fertilizer, the chemical fertilizers that are used in vast amounts commercially are also derived from fossil fuels. Mm-hmm. So there's all sorts of things you can do. You can find other ways to get to and from work or from school. Mm-hmm. For a lot of people, that's easier said than done. But for a lot more of you, I bet it's easier than you think it is. There's all sorts of small choices you can make.
Do you still bicycle?
I do. My bicycle is here with me today. I'm bicycling to work after the show.
Do you give your bicycle a name?
No, I don't.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
All right. Let's hear from people. We're talking right now. This is KBOO 90.7 FM dial. Number to call 231-8187. We're talking more or less very seriously about the impending disaster that the continued burning of fossil fuels involves. And we're talking about the fact that here in Oregon, already coal trains and oil trains are moving up and down the Columbia River on both sides of the river. And that there's plans for ports at places like Klatskanai and Vancouver where more of this stuff will be shipped overseas.
Yes.
And in meanwhile, the water, because of fracking and other aspects, and the planned XL pipeline, the new pipeline, is going to go right over the deepest aquifer, the most important aquifer we have in the Midwest. I mean, all these things can be opposed, and they ought to be opposed really actively by everybody. If everyone within the sound of our voices spent 10 minutes a day on this, it could make a difference.
If everyone within the sound of our voices commuted, abandoned their private automobile 2 days a week,
whoa,
that would make a huge
that
difference.
That would be good.
Yeah,
that
it would
be good. Walking is also okay.
Yeah. Those of you that own homes, there are substantial tax credits available for installing solar panels on your roof. There's a lot of things you can do.
Yeah, and you can yell and yell and yell and yell.
And yell and yell.
I like
yell
I like yelling and yell. Yell, and yell. Yeah, we do. All right, we got callers, 231-8187.
Kat, good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think I got your name wrong.
Ken.
Ken, I'm
Ken.
Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead, Ken.
I just called to say that in terms of the governor's decision, I understand, and I can't give you a specific source, mm-hmm, that the state legislature is is well represented by people who are members of ALEC, American Legislative Exchange Council.
Mm-hmm.
And you know who the founders and funders of ALEC are, basically the Koch brothers.
The Koch brothers, yes.
And the Koch brothers are very heavily invested in, among other things, fossil fuels. And
yeah, they're Earl people.
Yeah, they're Earl people, right? And then another commentary I'd like to make is that the military basically is, I think, the largest consumer of fossil fuels.
Mm-hmm.
And the military, of course, is... there's no controlling the amount of money they get, and they also, their tentacles are spread out through the industrial world, and so cutting back on fossil fuels, I mean, chipping, it's fungible, oil is fungible, and also flammable, but anyway.
Okay.
What I'm saying is that the fossil fuel industry has the military industrial complex behind it in many ways. And the only other thing I wanted to make is in terms of your suggestion about taking back our sovereign rights and demonstrating,
mm-hmm,
is that very lately it's been a brutal process.
Unfortunately, we've run out of time. It's an interesting topic. We'll probably talk about this a bunch over the summer. I want to urge people, particularly, to go the 13th, that's this Friday, to the potluck at 6 and the concert at 7 at the Peace House here in Portland, 2116 Northeast 18th in Philly. And we'll see you next week.
Yeah.
Oh, you won't be here next week.
I will not be here next week.
Just be me. Uh-oh.
Thanks, everyone.
Democracy is coming to the U.S. them all, free them all. What's the call? Free them all.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Free 'Em All, a benefit to support political prisoners, on Saturday, June 14th at 7 p.m. at the Portland State University Smith Memorial Ballroom. Free 'Em All is an evening of music, dance, spoken word, and political remix featuring David Rovex, international folk singer-songwriter, and emceed by KBOO's own Mike Crenshaw. Again, that's Free 'Em All, a benefit to support political prisoners, on Saturday, June 14th, 7 p.m. at Portland State University Smith Memorial Ballroom. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events. Good morning. You're listening to KBOO Portland. Here's what's coming up this morning on KBOO. First on Alternative Radio, peace activist Kathy Kelly speaks on Afghanistan, Beyond the Propaganda. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, Flashpoints features a look at Pakistan in the wake of a bold attack by the Taliban on Pakistan's busiest international airport. Also, remembering Andy Lopez on what would have been his 14th birthday. And civil rights lawyer and hip-hop artist Shahid Buttar on Edward Snowden. At 11, Stage and Studio is off today. Instead, host Dan Johnson interviews Portland resident Dennis Creamer, who is a principal subject in Before You Know It, a new landmark documentary about the first out generation of LGBT seniors. And at 11:30 on Art Focus, host